Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Some of the news.
Make it rain. News update.
It's Chris Pavona with the Fantasy Sports News Update. I'm going to piggyback off of you talking about Nick Foles. Dan Graziano of ESPN reporting that the Jacksonville Jaguars are expected to sign quarterback Nick Foles to a multi-year contract once free agency opens up next week. Teams are not allowed to talk about contracts with players until March 11th, but speculation had been made ever since the Eagles declined to franchise tag the former Super Bowl MVP. I'm also looking up here on NBCSports.com, excuse me. Basically, the only Eagles quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl bound is bound for Jacksonville when NFL free agency opens up March 13th, and this is according to NFL sources with knowledge of the situation. A market for Nick Foles outside of Jacksonville has not been developed, and though nothing is certain until it is official, the Jaguars absolutely expect to sign Foles. So, guys, it looks like looks like Blake Bortles is gone.
Yeah, that's where you go. Connect the dots. There aren't that many teams that need a quarterback. We've talked about them. Jacksonville, Miami, Denver filled their need. There's the Giants out there, maybe one or two others. So now that Foles is the big free agent domino fits, we've seen what Murray and Haskins and others have done at the combine. We're starting to see where some of these people can land. I think Case Keenum's going to be on the merry-go-round as well. Now that Denver, as we know, when the new league year starts, will acquire Joe Flacco from the Ravens.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to the NBA. The Rockets are looking like the hottest team in the league right now after beating the Celtics down 115-104 last night. James Harden told reporters that the team is catching fire at the right moment, saying it feels really, really good to kind of have a full roster and catch a rhythm. This is the perfect time for it. Guys, talking about the fall of the Lakers here, the Rockets seem like they are on a bit of a tear right at the right time here. But I still say you got to play defense to win in the playoffs, and I still think that that's the biggest issue with a guy like James Harden.
Well, yeah, as long as they keep playing Boston, they'll be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Harden's going to go ahead and score himself another 50-some-odd points. But the question is, when the chips are down on the table in real life, you know, will Jess Harden and Paul be enough?
Well, I mean, listen, they got to get through the Warriors first, and that's, you know, that's obviously the one team that everyone's going
to be. Yeah, they're going to have to get through the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers first.
Well, the reason why I say the Warriors is because apparently Steph Curry is the second best point guard ever behind Magic Johnson. That's according to Curry's teammate Andre Iguodala. Iguodala was talking to reporters after the Warriors beat the Sixers 120-117 on Saturday. He said, "I still think he doesn't really get the respect he deserves. Guys think he uses a lot of screens, and guys think they can draw mismatches with him defensively, but he's a real problem."
He is.
Yeah, Steph Curry.
He's also the best
good.
Player on that. He's also the most valuable player on that team. Durant may be the best player, but I don't think anybody is more valuable to that team than Steph Curry.
I agree, Joe. He is the cog, and we've seen this. Like, when Durant is out, they can still, you know, apply their offense. When Steph is out, it's a very different Warriors team. I agree with you. Steph is the most valuable player there, although I believe Kevin Durant is now the best basketball player in the world.
Well, one guy that's going to be looking to add some MVP hardware to his legacy, the Phillies signing Bryce Harper may already be paying off at least part of his contract. Data from Fanatics is showing only a day after he was officially introduced as the newest member of the Phillies and his jersey hit the team store, Harper's jersey has broken the 24-hour sales record for a jersey launch in any sport. Overall, Harper's introduction drove a 5,000% increase in sales of Phillies merchandise compared to the same day last year. This is per Front Office Sports. Harper will wear number 3 instead of his Nationals number 34, which he said is out of respect for late Phillies pitcher and recent Hall of Fame inductee Roy Halladay. Nice little gesture, you know, but...
And what do you know? Yet another way that we look about players' brands in terms of jersey sales and things of that nature, making him a valuable commodity.
Well, the funny thing is, speaking of selling memorabilia here, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's collection of memorabilia from his Hall of Fame career fetched nearly $3 million at auction on Sunday. Abdul-Jabbar put 234 lots of memorabilia, including four of his six NBA championship rings, for sale through Golden Auctions, with much of the proceeds going to his Skyhook Foundation charity that helps kids learn about science, technology, engineering, and math. The actual exact amount of items, guys, $2,947,872.25.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was broke and needed some of that money himself besides just the foundation.
Not me. I think it probably all goes to charity, because it would be a terrible look if it didn't, and he was actually pocketing some of that cash, because I know somebody's looking into that.
Fair enough.
I don't doubt you. I don't think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would do something like that. But that's the news.
You're not a skeptic.
Wouldn't surprise me, but it would. That would be an awful look.
Hey, by the way, guys, our poll is literally 50-50 right now. Bots and trolls or remembering passwords? What do you hate more? Hit us up on Twitter. Make your voice heard.
All right, guys. I'm Chris Bavona. That's the news update. Joe, go find my sweater for me, please.
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
I was going to ask Bavona how many testicles he has, but I figured that's we'll leave that for the combine. Welcome in, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as we make it rain here, final hour. I can't. It was an interesting weekend, to say the least, not only in the NBA. College basketball, of course, is winding down as we get ready for conference championships. And we had week four of the AAF and a couple of interesting games over the weekend, right? San Antonio yesterday beats Birmingham 12-11, right? They did it as a 7.5-point road underdog. Plus 260 on the money line, and the dogs 2-1 straight up and against the numbers so far. Week four, the unders were 2-1 for the for the season. Faves dipped to 12-3 straight up, 9-6 against the number. The unders approved to 11-4, and that Arizona game was one of the strangest games last night I have ever seen. Between that and Atlanta, Atlanta was supposed to be the worst team known to mankind. And yet they were leading going into halftime. And did you know Nick Falk is playing, is kicking for the Arizona Hotshots? No, Dan? Well, I'm by myself.
No, I got you. I think there's a number of former Chargers kickers in this league. I saw Young Wing Koo also on one of these teams. So Chargers guys miss field goals. You got a home in the AAF. Maybe Johnny Manziel will as well. But I told you, this Birmingham Iron team, all about the defense, all about the unders. I think it was 3-3 at halftime. And I saw our boy Rich on Twitter was pounding the unders. And he took it to the window as well.
It was a bit of a head scratcher, especially because we're looking at Arizona was supposed to be one of these high power offenses, and you know that was anything but high power last night. So some of these teams are regressing that started out really hot. Others are who started out pretty slow are starting to make their name known. One thing I will say though. The speed of the game is maybe something I'm most impressed with, the consistency of the speed of the game, especially from the defensive side of the ball. I think you're starting to see there's a lot of athletes on that defensive side of the ball there that that are causing some havoc. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the markets in the AAF and the lines moving forward.
Unders,
now
baby.
That we see defenses can play. So
yeah.
We'll see
and
what
offensive
happens.
Offensive lines there. Can't, Joe. That's
yeah,
the other
no,
part.
They
offensive
can't.
Offensive
lines
yeah. can't.
That's a problem. That's a problem. All right, we'll make it rain for you. We got some baseball fantasy bets next.
Improve visibility and save $8 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Plus, earn double points during Old Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ensure clear vision in any weather and save $8 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Andro 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Andro 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials walk for a decade. I was like, I'm just going to try it. My pants are like falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
The Morning After.
Warren Moon joins us. Would Antonio Brown be a nice fit for Seattle? Because to me, from a football perspective, it seems, man, this is like chocolate and peanut butter, bro.
I don't think it would be a good fit at all because the Seahawks are not a team that are going to throw the ball the number of times that Antonio would probably want to get targeted each football game. They're a team that wants to run the football. They're going to run as much, if not more, than everybody else in the league.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
So you know it's bad for the Lakers when Snoop wants to sell his box seats for $5 now because he's pretty much stuck a fork in LeBron and the Lakers. It's gotten that bad in L.A. But welcome in here. It is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Dane Martinez. Name of the show is Make It Rain. That's what we try and help you do each and every day here. It's what we all try to do here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Those of you joining us on Pluto TV now, streaming us in the morning, we welcome you, or any of the hundreds and millions, it seems like, of streaming platforms that we are delivered to you. It's all about profitability. And how do you become profitable? Well, you do it in sports betting and you do it in the fantasy world. And we've got you covered on both of those angles here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So download that app, tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell the creepy guy in the cubicle next to you, man, that we have got you covered. Also, our poll question up and ready to rock and roll here, Dane, today with our brackets.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing the Make It Rain Hater Madness. We were starting in the technology region. Want to know, what do you hate more today? Remembering your logins and passwords? I hate that, Joe. All right, when it returns back to me that it's wrong, I'm like, oh, damn it. Because I only got like one or two, right? So if it ain't those, I got to go searching, and it's just a problem. Or is it bots and trolls? We get them on social media. Sometimes we get them in the chat room. What do you hate more? It's real close right now, Joe. Remembering passwords, the two seed, up 54-46 on bots and trolls. But we're going to leave this up for a day or two so you can get out there and vote. Let's see who advances in the Make It Rain Hater Brackets. Big things. Also, a big shout out to everybody in the chat room. We're really getting live with our kind of, you know, the shop and who controls their brand conversation back and forth. Big shout out to everybody there in the chat room. Hopefully they are not bots and trolls. As you put up the Make It Rain Madness bracket. Joe, where should we go next, though, Joe? You want to go to the transportation region, the significant other region, or the sports region? What do you want to do? I think we should do this on Wednesday, maybe every other day, and we let the polls go for about two days so we could stretch it out for the first round at least, start to build the buzz, right? Where do you think we should go next on Wednesday?
Probably go transportation. Let's see what folks think about the transportation. We'll do that on Wednesday. It's a pretty good idea.
That sounds good.
I love this bracket too, by the way. The graphics guys, whoever pulled this off, very, very nice, very impressive. The Hater Madness 2019. Those are the brackets. But yeah. get to Twitter, cast your vote, and then let's see as we move along here. And I can't believe it, but you know, college hoops. The season coming to an end. We've got conference championships and then, of course, selection. St. Patty's Day. Sunday, we're going to be having all sorts of exciting. Don't forget, too, NIT as well as, you know, March Madness from a betting perspective. There are a lot of sharps
that will
tell you.
Yeah, got a little UFC this weekend, too.
Yeah, there is a lot of sharps that will tell you, yeah, the tournament can be profitable, but maybe the most profitable from a betting perspective is the NIT. So there's a lot going on. There's a couple of other of those little tournaments outside of course, the big one, the March Madness. So a lot of ways for you to be able to make money over the next 30 days in college hoops. Big games tonight, too. And I think we're going to talk to Jerry Palm, the bracketologist from CBS Sports, 8:40 here this hour. We'll see if we can't get him on and kind of talk a little bit about these brackets and how they're working out. And I know your Q's got a big game tonight against Virginia in the Carrier Dome, a place that Virginia has in the past not been intimidated by. I think last time in there, they ended up beating Syracuse by 14. But listen, Q's, I don't think anybody expected them to do anything more. As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody expects them to do as much as they've already done this year. Still going to be in the middle of the road for the tournament, and it's still college hoops is better when Syracuse is involved and in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. But and listen, I went to Syracuse. I am an Orangeman, okay? So we'll put this with a grain of salt. But legitimately, two things that Cuse has going for them, if you're looking for a sleeper team, one is the fact of that 2-3 zone, guys, okay? And teams that are unfamiliar with it and don't have much time to prepare for it are always shocked by the length of that 2-3 zone. So Syracuse always does a little bit better than most in the tournament setting. And then, listen, they've got four guys who can score on their own between Howard, Brissett, Tyus Battle, and O'Shea Brissett. These are guys that can get their own shot and can score. They've got scorers, and they've got a zone defense that is legit. We talk about this tonight, though, against Virginia. Remember I talk about the depth perception in the Carrier Dome. Unfortunately, I think this will be another one of those games, though, Joe, where they go up against and show themselves to be a solid opponent, but ultimately go down against one of the top five teams in the country that happen to be in the ACC. We saw it recently against Duke and against North Carolina. Unfortunately, I think it's a similar narrative tonight in the Dome against the Virginia Cavaliers.
Yep, 6.5-point home dog tonight. Those Q's are, will they or won't they be part of the Make It Rain plays of the day? We'll do that, too, coming up in about 10 minutes. But I wanted to play this. Had a chance last week to talk to one of our Vegas sharps, a guy who is just amazing when it comes to baseball and the Major League Baseball season. It's a very interesting when you're going to bet baseball, you've got a couple of different things in play. Of course, you've got a boatload of future bets that you can make, including team totals. You know, a lot of talk about why Bryce Harper and the team total didn't move all that much with Philadelphia. Why is that? Is he worth $330 million? Why isn't he worth 10 games? So on and so forth. So we had a chance to talk to Eric Waz of Better IQ, a guy that's been doing this 20 years in Vegas who specializes in baseball, one of the best there is professional handicapper-wise. We had a chance to ask him, yeah, why is that, man? Like, why are, like, the Machados and the Harpers, you know, when it comes to the future bet as far as team totals, team wins, what's the deal with this? Why is it not moving? And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it seems a little light. I mean, I saw the San Diego move. I think, yeah, two wins. I saw a couple places moving to be three wins on San Diego. And that seemed a little odd. I mean, I think what you had going on there was maybe baked into their season win total was the chance that they might get a guy like a Machado or Harper. So they already kind of inflated it maybe a couple of wins prior to that, right? So when it actually happens, you're not getting the full, you know, Machado's probably worth a five, you know, he's probably a five-win player, maybe even higher than that if he has it, you know, if he keeps getting better. So some of that was a baked in. Some of it is, hey, it's just San Diego. They're still rebuilding. A lot of young guys on that team. They still have a lot of pitching questions. Is Machado going to really, if they're going to pitch around him, he's really going to get a chance to show what he can do, you know. So there's a lot of question marks there, and I think people kind of want to wait and see on him. Harper's a different story, I feel like. I feel like if he signs with a surprise team, like let's say the Giants or somebody, I think their season win total goes up 6 wins instantly because they have a lot of holes in that team. They're kind of rebuilding. Yeah, he's a 5 or 6 WAR player, you know, wins above replacement. So I think that's a big impact. He goes to the Dodgers, maybe not as much because the Dodgers already have a well-balanced roster and they've got a lot of assets already, and he can't make as big of an impact there. Maybe it's a, you know, 3-win or 3.5-win adjustment there. But the Phillies line, I think, already has most of it baked in. I mean, their line's been getting pretty high, around 89. I've seen even at 90 at a couple of places. So they're already kind of saying, hey, this is the place he's going. If he goes to Philly, you might only see a 1 or 2 win adjust because they're expecting him to land in a Phillies uniform.
Which is important to know there, Dane, is that, yes, it only went up like a game and a half because the lines makers, and this is how good they are, right? When you think about this, this is how good they are. They already baked in the line ahead of time with that number when they released it, assuming that he was going to go to Philadelphia. But I think what he said was interesting with, like, Machado. He's going to a team where there's a lot of other question marks. Everything being equal, Machado's probably a 5-game, you know, a 4 or 5-game better. It only moved up 2 games because they still have a lot of questions. And you heard what he said about the Giants. I mean, you know, you look at the Giants total, they came in late. He'd have been worth 5 or 6 total wins there on a year, which is huge when you look at the overall numbers.
Yeah, it is. You know, Bryce Harper's WAR last year was actually less than 2. Real Muto's and Segura's were both 4.2, so they were even more than Harper. As you know, Harper struck out a bunch last year. But I'm going to take this a step further, Joe. I'm going to say that in general, though, and I think this is part of the reason why baseball is now a regional game and struggling to get new fans. And that's because think about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, I'll say Aaron Judge as well. How many wins do you really think someone who's only going to get up 3 or 4 times a game and have that many opportunities to affect the game are going to be worth? In basketball, a player like LeBron or KD or Giannis or Kyrie will have the ball in their hands all the time. Same with football. Tom Brady will have the ball in his hands. That's not the case in baseball. You want to come see Aaron Judge, but if he hit in the 8th inning, he'll have no chance to impact the game in the 9th. And that's, I think, a big reason why these win totals don't change as much and why, you know, young fans may not come out.
162 games, plenty of opportunities to affect it in that 3-hole. We'll see how it works. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's college basketball season, and the Monmouth Park Sportsbook by William Hill is your best bet to watch and wager on all the games leading up to the big tournament. Watch every minute of action on our 75-foot HD video wall. Wager on props, parlays, over-unders, and much more. Go to monmouthpark.com for hours and information. Excludes New Jersey college teams and college events taking place in New Jersey. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
This place is great. Where are we?
We're at Quintas.
Quintas?
Quintitas.
Oh, you mean meat farms?
It's Genta's Meat Farm Supermarket. Genta's Meat Farms has 9 locations across Long Island, bringing you local farm fresh produce, butcher shop quality meat with custom cuts, and bakery fresh goods all at the best prices. Genta's Meat Farms. You might not know how to say it, but you know where we are.
Genta's!
It's not just fresh, it's Meat Farms fresh.
College basketball has reached the climax of the 2019 season, and the Fantasy Sports Network has you covered for all the news and betting information for the conference tournaments leading up to the big dance. Get the latest wagering and prop bet advice every day from FNTSY's top experts and analysts as they prepare you with the best advice in bracketology. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio app in iTunes and Google Play and watch select programming in the FNTSY YouTube channel. The Fantasy Sports Network, your home for winning big in the month of madness.
Jerry Palm, bracketologist, CBS Sports. He'll be joining us coming up 10 minutes here as we try to get ready for our brackets, get ready to make some money this March Madness season. Can't believe it that we are already through the college basketball season, getting ready for tournament play starting this week. I believe the Summit League starts this week, so it's a lot of trying to dissect what's going to happen, trying to push it. You know, who's going to be the 16 seed? Who's going to be the 10 seed? Who's going to have a chance at that that all important number one seed in the four corners of your bracket? Jerry Palm will be the guy to help us understand all of that. He'll join us coming up here in 10 minutes. But you know, it's bad for the Lakers when you get Snoop Dogg coming out, man, just basically saying, you know what, I can't help the I'm selling my box for $5. That's it. I'm done. These Lakers are terrible. I can't handle it anymore. And it's to be expected when you lose to, of all people, the Phoenix Suns over the weekend, the worst team in the NBA. We told you earlier the odds are now, plus 600 that they will make the playoffs with 19 games left, minus 900 that they won't make the playoffs. And it just goes to show you that there's so much that has to be done. You know, it shows you how hard it is in the NBA on a day in and day out. If you are not focused, if you are not 100% committed, which I think we can all agree that LeBron is anything but 100% committed to this Lakers team, to this franchise, and, you know, to these young guys here, it just goes to show you how difficult it is even to beat a Phoenix Suns team on a Saturday night, Dane.
Yeah, on any given day, right? They're all professionals, all those good axioms that we can throw out there. Listen, Joe, I was talking about this a week and a half, and I was pro Lakers when I saw New Orleans on the schedule twice, Memphis on the schedule, Phoenix on the schedule over the last couple of days. But you, to your point, you still have to bring it. You can't assume anything, okay? Guys like Devin Booker and Ayton and Jackson out there, they are going to play because they're trying to do the same thing that the Kings are doing with their young core, that the Atlanta Hawks are doing with their young core. They're trying to build momentum in the same way. You can't take a day off and just assume you're going to roll out there and get a W, especially if you're a team that's 3 games behind 500 like the Los Angeles Lakers are. This was, in fact, kind of the nail in the coffin for my perception of them being able to flip the light switch. There is still 19 games, but it is a tall mountain ahead of LeBron and the Lakers, and it doesn't seem like they've got the characteristics, the mindset, and the glue that are needed to make this run in the last month.
You know, as we look at the NBA, the schedule that remains for a lot of these teams, if you just look at the playoff race, we've got the Bucks at 47-14, holding the best record in the league. They're, what are they, 2.5 games ahead of the Raptors. Then in the West, you've got Golden State and the Nuggets battling for the number one seed, and they've got 2 games between them still remaining on the schedule. But as you start looking at maybe who's got the easiest remaining, who's got the hardest, we'll start with the easiest. 3 teams right now with their 19 games remaining have the easiest schedule. Utah Jazz have the easiest, which is pretty good for them. They've got 21 games left. 15 are against teams under 500. You've got the Toronto Raptors have the second easiest schedule left. They've got 20 games. 15 of those are against teams under 500. And this is not good news either for Laker fans, because the third easiest schedule remaining is the Sacramento Kings. who are in ninth place right now. They're two games out of the last spot in the West. And I think maybe that's the interesting, but they've got some games against the Clippers coming up, New York twice, the Celtics and Wizards. They definitely find themselves in some winnable matchups. And there's no doubt that the Kings are committed to winning and making the playoffs, unlike the Lakers and LeBron. We know that. But it's still going to be, I mean, with the Toronto Raptors with an easy schedule like that, it's going to be tough for the Milwaukee Bucks to continue to hold on to that lead. And I do think home court, especially for both of those teams, Milwaukee and Toronto, that's something worth fighting for down the stretch here.
Yep, I would agree with that. Listen, in the East, we've said it. We think it's going to be kind of really fun to see the Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers. People still are holding out hope for the Celtics, right? And so when you have those teams there in the Eastern Conference semis and the Eastern Conference finals, I do believe one of these series, you know, I'll tell you right now, Joe, either one of the Eastern Conference semis or the Eastern Conference finals, I'll make a bet with you right now, one of those three, at least one of those three series will go seven games. And that means where game seven is played is going to be very important. As you mentioned, right now, the Bucks have a 2.5 game lead on the Toronto Raptors. I'm sure our guy Gabe Morency is excited by the stat you just revealed that the Raptors happen to have an easy schedule on the rest of the way. If the Raptors can chase down Milwaukee for that one seed, I do believe going up there to play in the six is a lot different. The Raptors are 27-6 so far up there in Toronto. That different than only 19-12. Only seven games over 500 are the Raptors away from Toronto. Meanwhile, 27-6 at home. I do think home field or home court in the Eastern Conference is going to be very important moving forward.
The team that is you got to keep an eye on for the remaining schedule, they have a brutal, and I mean absolutely brutal schedule down the stretch, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've got to try to figure out a way to get through these next 21 games unscathed and healthy. Trailblazers caught up to them in the standings. They're now tied for third in the West, while the Rockets and the Jazz are both winning their games that they need. They're right on their heels. So making matters worse, think about this. The Thunder's scheduled to end the season. Only six of the 21 remaining games they have are against teams under 500. Only six.
Wow.
So everything we're talking about, they've got the Blazers, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Bucks. You've got Russell Westbrook and Paul George. They've got to really, all of a sudden, they could go from the three spot to the six spot in a hurry.
Oh, it's even more than
21 games. This is
Joe. Tough. It's even more than that. You know, when you talk about this, we're talking about like the Kings and the Lakers, right? The Kings are three games back of the eight seed. The Lakers are now, what, 4.5? So we know about that. You take 4.5 games, Joe. Look at the gap between Oklahoma City and Portland at the 3 and 4 spot.
Right.
Down to the eighth seed. It's 4.5 games. The Thunder are 5 games back of the Warriors. The Spurs at the eighth seed are 9.5. That is a 4.5 game, you know, range to be from the 3 seed to the 8 seed in the Western Conference. That is going to be huge coming down the pike when we talk about some of these teams that are going to beat each other up and home field, you know, in that 4-5 or in that 3-6 matchup. Home field is going to be big there. 4.5 games separate the 3 seed from the 8 seed in the West. One thing I'll say, though, Joe, if the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, kind of with that gauntlet of a schedule, maintain or even gain, that could be part of the narrative for PG-13 as an MVP candidate.
Yeah, it's well, I think he's definitely got to be in the conversation, but he's taken a couple of nights off. They are going to listen. They almost lost to Memphis at home last night, which was
if they stay in the 2 or 3 seed, though.
Which would not have been an ideal situation, but even Memphis, and that's the whole thing that you got to understand. You're still, even if you're playing these sub 500 teams where you should be significantly better, these teams are going to bring it. I mean, Memphis brought it last night. If it wasn't for a flurry of shots made at the end, including the game winner by Russell Westbrook last night, we would have been talking about an Oklahoma City Thunder team that lost to Memphis of all teams at home, because they were getting their asses handed to them a majority of that game. I know those of you that had Oklahoma City on the money line because you thought some of your parlays were easy money if Oklahoma City was playing Memphis, it shouldn't be a problem. Well, it was a big problem for much of that game last night, but they ended up pulling through. But it just goes to show you, any given night, it's not easy. You also look at the Brooklyn Nets, who are finally back healthy here. This is a club also trying to make a stretch down the final stretch. They, too, they have the third hardest schedule remaining. And Brooklyn has got to find a way to win some games away from home, because it's been a rough second half so far after the All-Star break for them. But I do think, don't sleep on Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn, they are not comfortable, but they've got I think they've got an opportunity. They're three games ahead of the Magic right now, I believe, right? They're in
two
the
ahead of
CVs.
Orlando.
Two, no, okay, two.
Detroit has hopped them, okay? Detroit has hopped them sixth seed, okay? So right now you have Detroit in the sixth seed. You got Brooklyn in the seven and Orlando in the eighth spot. And listen, Joe, over the last week or so, you have been extolling the virtues of the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic as two teams that have been playing well. You got Detroit 8-2 in their last 10, Orlando 7-3 in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Nets are on a three-game losing streak, okay? So if, you know, when we talk about college basketball, right, like the last 10 games really matter for the selection committee, it sounds, Joe, like you like Detroit and Orlando. I wouldn't be surprised if Brooklyn, with that schedule you mentioned, starts to sink a little bit. They're only two games up on Orlando for that eighth spot, and only two games up on the Charlotte Hornets, who are, you know, right now nine right out of there. Miami only a half game back. The Nets with a tough schedule, they're going to have to start to bring it. I know Dinwiddie and LeVert are back for the Brooklyn Nets, but they're going to have to activate playoff mode themselves if they want to hang in these conference.
And we do actually have a play tonight for you, a little make it rain play centering around the Brooklyn Nets. Dallas coming to town to Brooklyn. Dallas is coming there. Brooklyn is laying 5 in this game. The total is the interesting part to me, 224.5 in this game, where the Mavs have no problem getting the over. In fact, 4-0 versus a team with a losing straight-up record, which would be Brooklyn. The over is also 7-3 in the Nets' last 10 overall. The over is also 5-1 in Brooklyn's last 6 games following a straight-up loss. They seem to bounce back really well. Also, the over 4-0 in the last 4 meetings between these two teams. I think the under is a little low here at 224, 224.5. I would jump on the over tonight for the Brooklyn-Dallas game. That's your make it rain play of the day. Love that.
Dallas also only 6-24 this season away from home, Joe.
Yeah, no, I know. It's that's why I like the points there. All right, Jerry Palm, CBS bracketologist. Talk a little college hoops coming up next, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If your vehicle is riding rough, it may be time for new shocks or struts. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy a combination of 2 or 4 select Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts and get up to an $80 Visa gift card by mail. Improve your ride with Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text YOUTH to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text YOUTH to 321321. That's YOUTH to 321321.
I had great results. I lost 70 pounds. I weighed 265 and went down to 195. My doctor told me, if it works for you, then do it. A lot of people say to me, how did you lose the weight? I said, I take Andro 400 every day. I'm going to take it forever.
That was Walt talking about Andro 400. Now listen to what Bob has to say.
When you listen to your radio commercials, you say that's not possible, but since I've experienced it, your commercials aren't strong enough. I am 76, and I've had a belly for way too long. My whole body is... tried other products and nothing happened.
Guys, if you'd like to lose stubborn belly fat, gain energy, and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Can't get enough fantasy football? Roto Experts has launched their NFL 365 fantasy football package, which includes the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com. with the promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package, only at rotoexperts.com.
Just a reminder, we've got you covered here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Live programming all the way up to 11 p.m. Eastern, including coming up right after us here on the morning after, Gabe Morenci. He'll be joining us also from 2 p.m. It's the Fantasy BFFs with good old Greg Sussman and Frank Stanfill. Also 2 to 4 today, the Scout Fantasy, Adam Ronis, Dr. Roto. And 4 to 7, it's Game Time Decisions. Gabe will be back with Cam Stewart. 7 o'clock tonight, the NBA Takeaways with Chris Welsh and Scott. Is it Bogman? Is that, am I pronouncing
Bogman,
or am
Scott
I?
Scott Bogman, yeah.
Okay, there you go, see. 7:30, Fantasy News Decks with Dan Strafford. 8 to 11, you've got Calling the Shots with Keith Irizarry. And then, of course, we're back starting your day 6, 8, and 9 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow as we make it rain. We're going to try to do that right now as we welcome in CBS bracketologist, the man, Jerry Palm. He joins us. And Jerry, it was a hell of a weekend in college basketball. It's going to be an even more interesting final week to the season before we start conference championships. Who are your – give me your four number ones right now is the way you see it.
I have Virginia – oh, sorry. mixing my teams up here. Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and Tennessee. I tried to get Virginia and Gonzaga into one word, and it didn't really work as well as I thought.
Tried to get five teams in there.
Yeah.
So we've got Virginia, Tennessee, Duke, and the Zags in there. How much did that victory over Kentucky at home this weekend play into you putting Tennessee in the top four?
Oh, yeah, it made the difference. You know, they were switched before that game. They could switch again. They could play each other again, possibly in an SEC tournament semifinal because LSU is leading the league at the moment. That would actually make an LSU – also is in play for a one seed. I mean, let's face it, if LSU wins the SEC tournament, beats one of those two teams again, they're going to have a pretty strong case to get up there themselves.
That was it. You know, the conference play, we hear so many different things about it. Guys, you know, some teams, it's not their main focus. They want to get into, obviously, the tournament. But how many of those teams do you think, how much is the conference championships going to play into that final number one seeding? If Duke doesn't win the ACC championship, are they not a number one seed?
Possibly. I think it depends on, especially at some level, whether or not Zion Williamson is playing. I think he's expected back by then. If they lose with him, in the ACC tournament, there's a chance that they won't be a one. It's a pretty competitive top of the bracket. And, I mean, Gonzaga will be a one if they win their conference tournament, and they probably won't be if they don't. It's because of the nature of the loss that they'd have to take in their conference. There just isn't anybody in their league that's a competitor for the NCAA tournament. But you've got Michigan there from the Big Ten. You've got three SEC schools. You've got three ACC schools. You've got a very competitive top of the bracket, and there are scenarios where any of those teams could end up number ones, and the conference tournaments could have something to say about it. It isn't so much winning the conference tournament, but conference tournament games are neutral court games, ideally against quality teams away from home, and that's the best way you can improve your resume, and that's true for the teams at the top of the bracket as well as it is for the teams that are lower down.
Hey, Jerry, this is Dane Martinez here. And listen, we started where we should, right, with some of the blue chip teams, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Virginias, who are going up against my Orange tonight at the Carrier Dome. And then you mentioned Gonzaga. And, you know, Gonzaga used to be called a mid-major. I don't consider them a mid-major anymore. They've been around for 20 years in this place. They, you know, almost won the national championship. What are some of these other schools that we could consider mid-majors that people should have their eye on that could win some games? Listen, Nevada, Houston, Buffalo, these teams have been in the top 25 all season long, but yet what do we know about kind of the competition they're playing? Do you think any of those three quote-unquote mid-major teams can get to the second weekend this time in March?
I bet that Houston at least would be, their league would be offended at being called a mid-major, and Nevada's league as well, which is why I don't use that term. Because it fries people the wrong way. Gonzaga is a major program in a non-major conference. Houston is having a great year. The American Conference is going to put three or four teams in the tournament. So I don't think their competition is a problem. They beat LSU earlier this year. So they've shown they can do it outside their league as well. That's a really good team. Nevada is largely the team that went to deep into the tournament last year and certainly seems capable of making that run again, although they have not shown it as much during the regular season this year as they did in the tournament last year. But it is those same guys. So I wouldn't rule them out. Buffalo won a game in the tournament last year. A lot of those same guys are back. Certainly should get a better seed this time than they did last year, and figures to have a chance to win maybe another game or two in the tournament this year. And then I'll give you Wofford, also out of the Southern Conference, 18-0 in that league, a league that's got four top 100 teams in the net, and they stomp that league. So that's a team that I'd watch out for, too, that's probably going to get a seed that'll give them a chance to win a game or two.
I got to ask you, too, you didn't mention North Carolina, yet a lot of people, Jerry Palm joining us, CBS sports bracketologist, a lot of people consider them to be an absolute number one, even more so than Duke. What is your thoughts on North Carolina right now?
Beat Duke again and get back to me.
Okay.
That's a really good team, but they've got five losses, and that's why they're not a one. It's a pretty competitive top of the bracket. You've got some teams that have got really good records based on good schedules. And right now, North Carolina with five losses isn't going to get to the one line, and they can. It's not over yet. I mean, I talked about all the, you know, the three ACC teams had a chance at a one. They're the third. But they've got to win out, I think, in order to be a one seed. I don't think a six-loss team is going to be on the top line of the bracket this year.
Hey, Jerry, you know, we talk about, I mentioned before, I'm a Syracuse fan, right? And one of the things I hang my hat on when Cuse goes to the tournament is that they're playing the 2-3 zone, and it's unfamiliar for people, and that helps them maybe, you know, with less time to prepare. When I'm filling out my bracket, you know, I also hear people with different axioms like, oh, you want a team that has good guard play, or you want a team that's experienced, you know, that sort of thing. Talk to me, zoom out, and talk to me about the ingredients you look for when looking for a team that may be able to make a run. Is it a team that plays a zone well that might be different? Is it a team with guard play? Is it a team that has experience? What are some of the characteristics or criteria you are looking for when a team, you know, can make that run? And that said, out of your criteria, what are some teams that might check those boxes as we look ahead to this March?
Wow, that's a lot. Well, first of all, talent. You hardly ever see a team in the Final Four that hasn't got like a first-round NBA guy on their roster. That's just pretty much it takes that kind of talent to get that deep into this tournament pretty much all the time. So first and foremost is talent. I also like defense because defense doesn't take a night off. I mean, you might have a bad offensive game, but if you're a good defensive team, then you've always got a chance. Even when your offense is struggling, you still got a chance. I think that's why Michigan is so successful in the tournament lately, because they're an underrated defensive team. I do like experience if I can get it, but boy, when you've got the talent that Duke has, you don't worry as much about experience. And taking care of the ball, you know, teams that take care of the ball. I mean, I think there's much more of a premium on that than there is in the regular season. You're not going to get away in too many NCAA tournament games turning it over 20 times. So if you can't take care of the basketball, you're going to have a problem.
Jerry,
and
Bob's
got some of the teams, huh? Well, Virginia?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, certainly the teams at the top. I mean, if you're thinking
place,
about
right?
teams lower
about
down.
Inputs and trends. So what do you got? Yeah.
Gosh. I don't know. Is Purdue far enough down? I mean, they're winning the Big Ten, but they're probably not going to be a three yeah. or a four seed. But they take care of the ball really well, defend very well, and have got a really talented guy in Carson Edwards. And I'd give you Marquette, but really very similar teams, although I think Purdue's a little better and deeper. Farther down than that, I like Maryland with Bruno Fernando.
Even though they lost two games this week?
What does that mean? Here's a couple of weird teams. There's a couple of weird teams. I don't know how many of those boxes they check, but other than the talent. It's St. John's and Arizona State, who have both shown the capacity to beat really good teams this season and have shown the capacity to just completely not show up. St. John's lost to DePaul last night, but they swept Marquette. They beat Villanova. They beat VCU in the regular season, and they got swept by Providence and DePaul and went 1-5 against the three teams tied for last in the Big East. Man, when that team wants to play, they can really play. It just, I don't know what the committee's going to do with that team.
Jerry Palm joining us, CBS bracketologist. Tonight, a couple of bubble teams in action, Texas Tech, and, of course, Virginia taking on Syracuse. Are these must-win games for these teams like Texas and Syracuse? Can they afford another loss, in your opinion?
Well, Syracuse can afford to lose to Virginia, certainly. Syracuse is pretty safe, I think. I don't know that I think of them quite as a bubble team yet. I suppose if they get their doors blown off and then lose
Use
the next
my
game,
ears, Jerry.
They're limping into the conference tournament. But, I'm not really worried about Syracuse right now. Texas and TCU, though, in the Big 12, both of them on the bubble and pretty squarely. Texas doesn't necessarily have to win this game, but it's a lot better for them if they do. You don't ever want to be in the position where you have to win at Texas Tech, though. But Texas is 16-13. And in the 25 years I've been doing this, only one team has gotten an at-large bid with fewer than four games above 500, and that's a team we don't compare anyone else to because of the ridiculous schedule they played. Texas might be able to get in at three over 500 this year, which is where they are right now. So they don't win this one. The home game with TCU, a double bubble game coming up at the end of the regular season, is going to be really important. TCU hosts Kansas State. They were not very competitive against Texas Tech. They need to. They probably really need to win this game. They don't want to be in a position where they're having to win against Texas to end the regular season.
He is Jerry Palm, CBS bracketologist. You want to know about bubbles and what to do in the tournament? He is the guy to follow. Jerry, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, the bracketologist. All right, so I don't have to win tonight, Syracuse, but to tell you the truth, I'm still laying in 6.5. I'm taking Virginia tonight any which way. Sorry about it, Dane. I'd like to hope for better things, but I'm laying the 6.5. I'm taking Syracuse. Also, you heard him mention it there as far as Texas and Texas Tech goes tonight. We got another Make It Rain play for you. We are definitely going to go over 133.5 between these two teams. Texas and Texas Tech seem to put up an obnoxious amount of points when it comes to the better competition. Both of these two teams understand what's at stake. You just heard Jerry there. I would expect this total to be somewhere around the 150, 160 mark, probably in the 80s. So those are your Make It Rain plays today. Also, we told you the over. Mavericks Nets tonight. Take the over 224.5 there. Gabe Morenci's coming your way. It's the morning after. Dane and I will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to make it rain and do it all over again. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for making us a part of it.
Madness. Well,